So we are now joined in the studio by a couple of folks. One wearing like state police sunglasses.
I can't see.
I can close the blinds. We have Jay Rainier and Melissa Wooten, both from the Grizzled Sunflower 6K. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
You want to, Al? You want to get the blinds from Melissa? She's like, I can't see. I don't blame her.
I'm a mole right now. Like,
no, it's not you. It's it. A lot of people come in here, and they'll be sitting here and getting ready to talk, and all of a sudden they go, ah, the sun's so bright.
Was it gremlins that were allergic to sunlight?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a gremlin right now. I'm like,
bright light.
Dracula, yeah.
Dracula, too. Yeah. Yeah. There's that. So, good morning, Jay. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. This is, I've tried to get you in here a few times.
Yeah.
And never happened.
I have another job.
He's got another job. You got no time for this. So,
I do listen, though.
You do?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I do.
That makes five.
Well, the thing is, you know, I work about 30 minutes away, and I'm usually at work pretty early. So
yep.
with the morning show starting at 7 o'clock, I'm usually in my office at 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's not someplace that I can stream. So when I listen, it's on the...
The government frowns upon that.
It's on the off chance that occasionally... I'll be starting work after 7 o'clock. So if I'm driving and it's 7 to 7:30 or so, then
do you just Bluetooth it or something? Or how do you do it in your car?
I do it on the app, and then I just use the aux cord and listen in my car. Yeah.
See, a lot of people have said to me, "How does this happen?" And you know, you try to tell people, but now you can tell somebody that actually does it, like Jay. It's real easy to do. Melissa doesn't listen though.
Nope.
No,
I listen occasionally. I know there's something that you're going to talk about that I'm town meeting stuff, like certain guest speakers I like to listen to and hear what they have to say. And for me, when I was commuting to Rhode Island, there was a dead spot with my phone. So it would always cut out right when it was like, you know, watching the soap opera and you'd get to like Guiding Light, 4 o'clock, and the big plot twist would come on.
Right,
like,
right.
What was he going to say? Yeah. And then I'd shake my fist and curse your name. So, you know.
And then it comes back on and a commercial comes on. Yeah. Right when you want to hear something.
Actually, that's going to change.
Oh, good.
Very good.
The that's app. Cool. The Droid, the new Droid app is actually out there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. The
people
iPhone
have
one
Droids?
Shut up.
I didn't.
I know.
I have one. I love it.
I switched. I have an iPhone now. But if you have an Android, that it's out there already where it's no commercial. You just hit it and there's no 30-second pre-roll. And you just boom right into it.
Oh, I'm going to miss Flo.
Huh?
The insurance lady.
I am not. No. You know what it was? It was a trade-off.
She totally does.
It was a trade-off for, like I said, I didn't have to pay for the app and then do this. So now I just said, all the hell with it. And I just paid for the app. I said, no, just because it was a pain for me.
Yeah.
Turn it on and say, I don't want to listen to this. Next thing you know. So, all right. So what we're really here to talk about is the Sunflower 6K and what a wonderful event it was this year. It was done quickly, but done so well, you know, and how it was planned. So, Jay, I remember, why don't you take us back to the beginnings of the preparation? Like, whose idea was it, actually?
Well, it was actually my wife, Laura's idea. As we were, I'm on the recreation committee for Griswold. And, you know, over the last year and a half or so, I'm sure you've noticed with the banners and things that are around town and the different events, how they've been getting renamed. We've been trying to brand Griswold as the Sunflower City Capital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the only real thing that makes us the Sunflower City is the enormous sunflower fields that are right up the road from us. And people come from all over the state. Up at Buttonwoods,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
All over New England and, you know, from other states and things that... And that's where they see it. And it's an amazing sight. And we do these, we started doing in the spring and the summer, several of the events that were, you know, around town, whether they were on Main Street or in the Veterans Park. And we were calling them, you know, the Sunflower City Festival, the Sunflower this, Sunflower that. And all of that's great because that's, you know, what we're becoming known for. But the only real way to really make this the Sunflower, you know, mm-hmm. capital is to focus some events up at the Sunflowers. And the Sunflowers themselves...
Makes sense.
Right, sure. And the sunflowers themselves are really only in bloom. It's a very short period, almost like the cherry blossoms down in Washington, D.C. It's a short blooming period, only a few weeks. So over the last year or so, Melissa dragged my wife and I into a running club called the Run 169 Town Society.
I literally said, come walk with me.
And what that is there's 169 towns in the state of Connecticut, and you need to run a official timed event with a bib and, you know, all that, mm-hmm. In all 169 towns. And that's a huge feat to do. And Griswold doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of races. We've done a few that were, geared towards kids. And
yeah. So right now in Griswold, the Booster Club had done a race for several years in response to budget cuts in, I think it was 2011. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm going to do a race. And, you know, so I had experience doing races that way mm-hmm. from the administrative side. And what Jay and I found going all over, and Laura, all over the state, is that you need a hook. Like, you need something really unique that's going to bring people to drive across Connecticut to Griswold. And lo and behold, we had these beautiful sunflowers. And
Laura was like, you should do a race at the sunflower fields at Buttonwoods.
Yeah. Yep.
What better way to bring in people?
Yep.
And light bulbs just went off, and we were like, let's do this. I contacted Melissa and said, hey, what do you think about this? Yep. And then shortly after that, I reached out to you to see if this is something that you would be willing to cover. And the big thing with this is a large race, what we've found, they take a long time to plan. You know, like sometimes,
about
a year. And from scratch, longer than that. Mm-hmm. And we started developing this and thinking about brainstorming and for the race in May of last year.
I counted. It was 60 days. Yeah. We put it together in 60 days.
Yeah. That is insane.
Yeah.
But especially the size of it. I mean, when I got there that morning, and I just kind of drove up and I'm just taking a look around, just kind of taking everything in. And I'm like, there's no way they did this in this short of time.
Right. And, the way that it really happened is Melissa and I have done... We've run in a lot of races, and myself, I've done 20 in 2017, and Melissa, I think, did over 40 something.
Not in 2017,
but right. So
but I've run 54 separate towns to date, but I've run more races because I repeat some. But mm-hmm. either way, we've been all over the state,
right.
Seeing large organizations, small organizations, just being a consumer.
Right.
So we kind of bastardized what we mm-hmm. loved from all the different races
right.
and put it together. And one of our favorites, which was a haul, but I totally go back, is out in Reading, Connecticut, which is near the New York border. And it was so fun. And it wasn't like an overly commercial. It was such a homey, like, hometown feel to it.
Right.
But I mean, it was literally in the middle of a cow field similar to ours.
It's called the Reading Road Race. And while we were there, and that was one of the early ones that we did.
In May.
And they have a 7 mile race and a half marathon. And
which is 10 miles?
13.1.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So the thing with that race is they just pulled out all the stops. Mm-hmm. The race sells out in like a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. And they have like over 1,000 runners in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you go there and they just do things so well. All the different things that they provide for the runners. You know, the bib is mm-hmm. is custom made. The pastures are all well groomed. They have all the start and finish line things well marked. There's for finishers. There's medals involved, and there's all kinds of food, bananas, and all that kind of stuff that they would give out. We saw a lot of the things in that race that we were like, this works really well. So when we decided to do this, we were taking parts of that plus the other ones that we saw work well, and we eliminated the things that we were like, you know what, that doesn't really work.
That's lame.
Right. And so, I mean, 3 months or two
but
and a half
But this was your
or,
race. You guys could do and plan it the way you wanted to
right,
and what your
exactly.
visions were.
Right.
So,
So we had a tough time because it was so short, such a short cycle to plan it. We only used Facebook, essentially, for all of our advertising.
Yeah.
And this Run 169 Society has a large following on Facebook. And so once we did that, people started sharing it, and it kind of grew exponentially.
Yep.
It was an exciting, 2 months to watch the registrations grow. It worked out really well. It went really fast. And we realized that this is an event that, raises money for a couple good charities. And it's something that this town needs.
That was important to us too, because
right.
the buttons and the Sunflower Make-A-Wish event is really important to them. And they were so incredibly generous in letting us be there for one. I mean, inviting so many people to be on their property for that period of time. They also, Saturday morning, Jay, Laura, me, my husband, my kids, a couple of the recreation committee members were out like cutting sunflowers to, give out to each runner, right. which, I mean, they sell those. That's not like something, they just give away. And then they also gave every runner a $5 or a free ice cream scoop certificate. So once you pass it, you got your flower, you got some ice cream. I mean, we actually, I think, are actually going to raise the price a little bit because of everything that we were able to give. It means we could do more for the charities. But then, coming back to my original point, we wanted to do the Make-A-Wish because that's important to them. Mm-hmm. But we also wanted to have it attached to the town, like a local charity or something that the townspeople, could also support because it's here homegrown for them. So we chose, with Ryan's help, the Little League PTO-sponsored playground. Mm-hmm. So half the money, we raised $7,800, or is that my math? Yeah. So half of that money went to Make-A-Wish, half of that money went to the town to upgrade that playground. I mean, I don't know exactly.
It was mainly the surface, so all the wood chips and things. Yeah. It'd been a few years since those had been replaced.
Mm-hmm. And you can't just throw regular wood chips down there. You got to make sure
these
they're
are
not going to kill the kids.
Kid-friendly type ones.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is that's a difficult spot down at the Jude City Little League field to get to. Right. So, but to get into that area, even to put the chips is not an easy task. So they had to remove fencing by the fire department and bring the trucks in there. So us giving the, it was a half and half type thing. So we did $3,800 or so to Make-A-Wish, and we did about $3,800, to the park, supported the money for two great causes. And what we're going to do for this upcoming one, is something very similar. We're going to continue to do the Make-A-Wish. That seemed to be they have a huge following, and it's a great organization, and it's something very important to the Buttons and to Griswold as a whole. I mean, like we go up there to donate and buy the bundles of sunflowers up there, knowing that it's going to a great organization.
Well, and the other thing that struck me in the week of the race, I had spoke with a Make-A-Wish, and they're like, oh, let us send you some stuff. They wanted to support us in getting their message out as well. And the our contact there sent me all kinds of promotional stuff. And one of the families she sent me information about was from Griswold, Jewett City. They had done a playground for one of these kids. That was their wish. They wanted a playground in their backyard that they could use. And it was like, I called Laura or texted Laura, and I was like crying. I'm like, it's supposed to happen. And she's like, you're really tired. Like, yeah, no, but it just hit me. It was like, you work really hard on a race. I mean, when I tell you that I talk to Jay a bajillion times a day, I'm not mm-hmm. exaggerating. It was probably a bajillion and one. But all the work that goes into it, to get the water and get the bibs ordered and then make sure everything's – it's a lot of work. But it was kind of rewarding to, see that it had that local connection just one more way. So we're definitely going to stick with Make-A-Wish on part of it.
And, running a race like this, organizing a race, I should say, like this is it can be very costly too. So there's we're going to have some more time to raise money this year. Last year that was one of the difficult parts is only using social media to advertise it. It was a lot of it was only word of mouth that companies would reach out to us offering some support. We were taking $20 and $50 checks, and then some other organizations were giving $500, and that all went a real long way. Cost mm-hmm. about $6,000 or so to organize this race, mm-hmm. and those things Anything that we can get from sponsors allows us to run a better race
and
give back to the charity as much as possible. So, I mean, like this, without the sponsors that we did have, you know, it would be very difficult to organize a race like this. Melissa was doing a lot of stuff in the beginning out of pocket.
Yeah.
And, you know, because running a race like this, it's especially in a short amount of time, we've got to get all the things
organized. Yeah, to fund it somehow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it wasn't until as the donations started coming in and the registration started coming in that we were able to really start kicking this thing into high gear. So,
and,
I mean, it's...
And there were organizations... Yeah, I can't talk. Organizations in town that were really just like, we said, hey, we need help. And they stepped up. Yeah. Like, you know, Jewett City Savings Bank, they were amazing. I mean, they... Any bottle of water you got at that race, they helped us pay for. Like, you know, they just were so generous in that respect. And it was August. It's freaking hot.
Yeah.
So people were very thankful to have
that
bottle of water.
I remember,
it was hot. Yeah.
I'm a fat, sweaty guy. And, and I was out there. I'm like, you're running? And I'm just standing there dripping.
One of the Jewett City Savings Bank employees is in the
Kevin Goyen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he came there and he had the Jewett City Savings banner with him. And we put that up in a nice spot so everyone would see it.
Yeah, they were really generous.
Yeah, they were.
And then Kevin Merchant came and he was like, "You guys need any help with it?" And we're like, "No, we're good." Like, you know, they're just
Kevin's the real deal, man.
Totally
I'm telling you, he's the absolute real deal.
Yes. Yep.
He's probably the most sincere guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm not saying that the brown knows him because we're sitting in his building, but
no, he's a
I would
guy.
Tell him that sitting on my porch, you know, having a drink with him, you know, so
or at the softball game, he's calling all the innings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's so much fun
to
work
with. He's good.
So much fun to work with.
So he was really generous. And, you know,
speaking of Merchant, just want to slip this in real quick. He was there with his wife standing next to me most of the event, you know, by the finish line there.
Yeah.
And he says, next year. I said, what? He goes, we're running this.
Oh.
And he said, and I said, like me and you. he goes, yeah. He says, we're doing this. So, hell or high water.
You're going to be there.
We're going to be there, but we're going to.
You're going to run it.
We're going to be in the race. I don't care if I walk it or what. We're going to be in
it. And that's perfectly fine. I'm, you know, like.
no, that's awesome. That's not perfectly fine. That's freaking awesome. And, Mike, that makes me
absolutely.
So excited.
No, me too. I love being a part of it.
Yeah. What I mean by that is we had 566 runners in that race, and there was a good proportion of those that were walkers. They walked from the start to the end.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Walk.
They went faster than their couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went 3.728 miles faster than sitting in their living room.
Yep.
What do you think, Alan? You wanna walk it too with us? So, anyway, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll come back and talk some more about like the upcoming event that's coming up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a really nice picture that you guys sent me, and it was the inspiration. We'll talk about of the event too.
Part of it, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. So you're listening to Wolverine Radio. We're talking to Melissa Wooten and Jay Rainier. They are the organizers of the Sunflower 6K, which happened this past year, 2017, and they're in the midst of planning the event for 2018. So we'll talk more about it in just a couple of minutes right here on Wolverine Radio.